RPG Lessons Learned. When the game is over, when your players are gone, that's when lessons are learned. We are at RPGLL Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, rpglpodcast@gmail.com, and check us out online at rpglessonslearned.com. Hi, welcome to RPG Lessons Learned, the show where you can learn from our mistakes. With me, as usual, is Brian.
Hey, Dusty, how's it going?
Brian, I'm doing great. And we're listening to another episode of our Vampire the Masquerade 1997 Introductory Kit / Quick Start campaign.
You recorded this in 1997?
I wish that technology, well, sure, it existed, but I wasn't aware of it. No, the Quick Start is from 1997.
Oh, okay.
The rules are from 1997.
That makes more sense,
and
doesn't
in fact,
it?
The game takes place in 1997. My nice way of getting around the fact that smartphones solve too many problems.
Yeah, that makes sense.
In a modern campaign.
Yeah, I can remember 97 really well, and I was lost all the time.
Yeah. I can remember the early 2000s very well, and I would print up documents or print up directions from MapQuest.
God.
Yes.
That seems so foreign now.
It does. Anyway, so last episode, the fellas just finished killing their first rival vampire as part of a blood hunt, and we're about to break into the aftermath of that killing.
Cool. Let's go ahead and listen.
You have killed a fledgling vampire and two of his three ghouls.
I'll pull one over to him and like squeeze some blood out of their arm or something into his mouth.
When you say pull one over, the fledgling vampire or one of the ghouls?
You know, that vampire blood here is pretty good quality. A lot more bang for your buck.
That's not me dropping a hint. That's me honestly asking you.
I don't know if you feed off of vampires if you're a vampire, because the whole deal is you don't kill
you're
other
unconscious.
Vampires.
You're
Yeah, you don't know what's going on. I
have no idea.
On.
You're in torpor.
You hear a voice from the back of your head.
I'm the voice.
I'm just asking, there's three bodies. Which would you do?
Nah, I'd say I'd probably do one of the ghouls, since
ghouls?
They're more human. We know that. We know they're at least still alive.
All right. You wake up feeding, and you are at frenzied. So you go nuts and you drain this thing. It's been bleeding. I mean, it was dying and has been bleeding out.
Yeah.
So, you know what? I'm actually going to roll a d6 for how many blood levels you got off of it. Ooh, 5. Mm. So it was halfway. That makes sense. You get 5 blood levels back.
Okay.
You don't want to spend, like, all of those to heal back up.
Go ahead and make me a psychic roll.
2.
The blood from the lady that you bit was great. The blood from the homeless guy was great. I mean, like, the most filling meal you've ever had in your life. There's just a little hint of something in this ghoul's blood. Just a hint that is completely delectable. Like, in a way that you just cannot get enough of. You drain this body, this dead body, dry. In fact, part of you might be horrified in the back of your mind at what you're doing. Like, you're draining a corpse dry of blood. Not something that you would have done, you know, 3 short weeks ago.
Right.
But you can't get enough. You absolutely cannot get enough.
I'd say between three ghouls and 5 each.
Well, one got away.
And you need to heal two.
Well. Yeah.
So are you also going to partake?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm not doing great myself.
All right. The ghoul or the fledgling?
Ghoul.
The ghoul?
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Same thing. This is just a little bit better quality. There's just something about this blood that's nicer.
Mm-hmm.
And you get 4.
Okay.
Because that corpse has been sitting for just a little bit longer and bleeding for a little bit longer. So you managed to salvage 4 blood out of it.
Okay. Then do this. So what I'll do is I'll spend enough to get me back into light damage so I can have my dice rolls. However, that does put me at hungry.
You aren't hungry?
There sure is a fledgling right there with a lot of blood.
Hungry's good to know.
Try the fledgling. All right. I don't know what I'm doing. Let's see what happens.
All right. Let me see something important with fledgling. 5 blood levels. Okay.
It's full blood. It's great.
Do you drain the fledgling?
Sure.
Oh my god, this blood's amazing. This blood is incredible. The hint of something that you were getting from the ghoul is coming through full strength with the fledgling.
We're delicious.
I'm hungry too, so we need to go get a homeless dude.
How quickly we get used to this.
Oh, can we track the ghoul down by his blood trail?
Can we?
There's something I want to do first.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get an ink pen ready, because this is not something that you're going to erase. With taking 5 levels of this fledgling's blood, you actually acquire a discipline.
Hooray! That's good, right?
Yep.
Hooray!
I'm so jealous right now.
We'll murder someone else, don't worry.
You get 2 disciplines.
Hooray!
I want you to check basic presence and basic potence.
Very potent. Cool.
Do you ever lose those?
Oh, this impends.
It's impend. Once you check that box, you do not lose it. Nice. I also want you to go to the back of your character sheet. Okay. And you can do this in pencil. For aptitude, you now have an aptitude for combat.
Cool.
Which means you have +1 dice to 1 combat action per turn.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
So you can write that as your aptitude. You have a new advantage, which is blood rage. You can spend a dot of blood to ignore pain when attacking enemies in melee, to ignore the penalty.
Oh, I'm getting his stuff. Cool.
Does he still get his health decreased?
Yeah, he can still do all that.
Okay, but it doesn't. But it ignores the dice penalty.
He's also getting his. Yeah. You have your aptitude, your advantage, and your weakness.
Yeah. I'll go back and put it in the proper place in just a bit.
You also gain a weakness.
Oh well, I don't drink that much.
Resisting frenzy is now 1 DC harder. 1 difficulty class harder. Resisting Frenzy is now a DC 5 for you. Do you take his head?
Absolutely. We've got to put it in the double bag.
All right.
And I would take it here as well. Just old West style.
Fair enough. Yes. So, important question. I'm going to say it's probably 2 or 3 in the morning. Dawn's approaching. Do you go ahead and get back to the sanctuary and report back into Jack, or do you try to track down the ghoul?
Well, I mean, we just made a whole bunch of noise in the middle of a...
We should leave.
Yeah, we
should leave.
It would be great to track down that ghoul, and maybe there would be other fledglings.
I'm sure the candelabra or whoever will take care of it.
All right, back to Jack. Yeah, get through the voice. All right.
Your pain is delicious.
Talk me through showing up the sanctuary and giving Jack the head.
Ooh, we come, he's playing pool, we just drop the dump bag on the pool table.
Oh, man!
There's a towel? Well, there's a towel?
We do it like away from the... Like, they're kind of at the top. Which is,
he snatches it.
Consider it.
This felt's expensive.
There's a towel.
All right. Step back here. He opens it up.
Is it the wrong fledgling?
It's not. He opens it up and he's like,
"Whoops!
Ah, Peter. All right. Let's take you for a meeting with the prince."
Real quick, do you have any more blood? Any more bottles or anything like that?
No.
I'm a little hungry.
Are you actually in hungry?
Yeah. In order to heal up. Lesson learned.
Why don't you stop for a bite on the way?
We'll do that.
So, do you have any other fledglings we need to take care of?
Hunting roll. Do what?
So, do you have any other mistakes we need to fix for you?
No more blood hunts have been called. I want to be clear. Just because your first night, knowing what you are, you killed another vampire, to use your word. You killed a kindred. Don't think this means you can go around killing kindred. I want to emphasize what I said earlier. A blood hunt had been called on Peter. Peter had been sentenced to death. This isn't us turning in a random bounty. This is us turning in a very purposeful bounty.
Is there any way to get on that mailing list?
When I bring you before the prince, you need to act like you know what's up. You know you're a kindred. You had a sire. You're not some fledgling. You've been around the block. You're a neonate. You've graduated from your sire's care, and now you've come to this prince's domain.
So we're lying to the prince?
We're from out of town.
You don't have to.
You could die.
You can be honest with him.
Yeah, it's not a good look.
But I've made that clear.
Yeah.
This is me putting my neck out for you guys. I'm lying right along with you.
Okay, Jack.
So are we ready?
Yeah, let's stop and get something to eat.
All right, make your hunting roll.
It was downtown was what I wanted, and I guess I got a success.
All right, how many do you take?
Just one. I want to take. Actually, I'll have to take 10 blood levels, I guess, from the human that I find.
Why do you need to take 10? Yeah, are you totally down?
Where
are you at?
Yeah. Yeah. So like my health was all the way down to Torb, but my blood is now all the way up to Hungry. So I need to get all the way. I need to get back into that, right?
But you didn't heal earlier from the blood drink?
I just did. Okay. Yeah. And that's why I have one light. But I'm all the way into Hungry, so maybe I could just take like 4.
I was gonna say just
if you take, at least be in. You know, if you take 5, you hospitalize that human. If you take 4, that human's really sick for like a week.
Let me take 3. So okay. They're sick for like a
one or 2 is like pretty harmless.
Okay, I'll take 2 then.
But I mean 3. I'm not saying don't take 3. I'm just telling you.
I want to do
3. 1 or 2 is harmless. 3. You do 3.
I want to do 3.
All right. They're gonna feel woozy for a couple of days, but it's all right.
Yeah. And then I'm going to spend 1 by healing up all the way. So I'm still hungry, but I'm okay.
So he brings you before the prince. The prince is a guy named Aaron. And Jack's probably explaining that along the way. I'm not going to do the voice and explain it all in character.
Hence his whole thing about Aaron look, Edward. Earlier, right? What does Aaron want earlier?
Yes, what does Aaron want exactly? Aaron, the prince is super well-dressed.
Does he wear a lot of purple?
No. He is super well-dressed in like a 3-piece gray suit. Mm-hmm. He's a very, very handsome black man. I'm almost thinking like Idris Elba in the Pacific Rim scenes when he's like in a suit for the evaluation stuff.
Right.
That level of nicely dressed.
You have to look this up.
I haven't seen Pacific Rim. Yeah, go on.
Okay. I forgot Nathan doesn't watch movies.
Mm.
So the prince is dealing with some business, and he deigns to take notice of Jack. Jack, he says, what business do you have with me today? And Jack introduces you guys, and he's like, go ahead.
Hi.
Your Highness.
Did Jack explain the protocol to us?
Sure, Your Highness works.
Do we have to curtsy?
You do not have to curtsy, but
we do have to bow.
Inclining your head would certainly be nice.
Got it.
Okay. Show some respect. Be respectful. Be nice. Don't be too formal. Don't be nervous. Act like you've done this before.
Exactly. I gotcha.
It's like talking to a VP at work. Just be confident.
Right.
Be deferential, but be confident. Don't feel like you can never, ever correct them. But also, you know, if they insist that they're right, probably don't argue. It's just like that.
Good career advice.
So which of you is doing the talking?
Me.
Yep, absolutely.
Your Highness, we've solved your brouhaha problem. Pull it out of the bag.
Ah, yes. Peter.
Yes.
Well, call a halt to the blood hunt. He turns around. And when he does that, a woman steps out of the shadows. And she's missing the lower half of her face.
Ooh.
And her tongue is just lolling out of her head.
Nice. Middle.
And she says, you can tell in this horrible hissing, sibilant voice, she says, yes, sir. And you have no idea how she managed that without a jaw, other than a lot of practice.
I stomp on his foot because I know he's going to say something.
But she is horrifying looking. Pale, pasty skin, long ears, absolutely horrific visage. Just horrifying looking.
Poker face.
Poker face?
Okay. Absolutely. Looking away, looking to the side.
Well, to who do I owe the honor of resolving our Peter situation?
I'm Eduardo.
Well, Eduardo, how long have you been in my domain?
We're visiting our good friend Jack, and we happened upon the blood hunt, and with the blood hunt we realized that maybe we could use this as an introduction to you.
So why didn't you come by to introduce yourselves earlier, as is our tradition?
Well, we got into Jack's as soon as we got into town to see our good friend to find out where you were. And then he told us of the blood hunt, and we decided to go
bring you a present.
The court does move around. What clan do you claim?
We are Caitiff Neonates.
Which one's Neonate again?
So Neonates means that you have graduated from Fledgling. You no longer need a sire.
Okay. Caitiff.
And Caitiff means you're clanless. Clanless, but not thin blood.
No, absolutely not.
Well, welcome to the Queen City.
Beautiful city it is.
One moment. And he says, Candace, come over here. And a woman approaches. She's heavy set in like a solid way, like you would not want to get into a fight with this lady. Wearing a do-rag to kind of hold her hair back. Her hair is a little unkempt, like it's not at the top of her priority list. All in all, this is a woman more built to intimidate and take action. Like, nothing about her is calculated to make her look a certain way. Everything is all about being super-duper practical. And he says, this is Candace, the primogen of the Bruja. Candace, these are the caitiff that have solved your fledgling problem. So you are meeting the primogen, the head of the clan in this city.
Matriarch.
The matriarch, in this case, matriarch. The head of this clan who's fledgling that you just killed. How do you play this meeting? On the one hand, you've just killed a member of her clan. On the other hand, the prince is phrasing it like you solved a problem for her. So how do you play? You turn to her. What expression do you make? What do you say?
Happy to help.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
All right. You play it well. She reaches out and she shakes your hand. It's a damn terrible thing to kill a fledgling, but he never should have been created. His sire's been taken care of as well, Your Majesty. And she bows her head slightly to the prince. You've done it. The prince welcomes you again. He dismisses you, basically by ignoring you and attending other business. And as soon as Jack can, he gives you a surreptitious thumbs up.
But, like, from a badass biker, that sounds amazing. Like, it's a very literally, universal. Like, Lorenzo Lama is simply, like, looking at you and just going, like, thumbs up. Like, that would just be amazing. That would make my day. My man crush grows.
That's the end of your first session of Vampire the Masquerade.
So, Brian, what'd you think?
So, listening to this, it's a little different because typically in the past we've talked about our own games. So I'm trying to approach this more in the sense of I want to understand how Vampire works. So what I'm hearing here is you're showing again more how the feeding mechanic works, and also I'm getting exposition from Jack, basically.
So, and some role play with Aaron and Candace and the Primogens. But let's talk about the feeding. Let's talk about diablerie.
I love that word.
Diablerie is a great word, isn't it?
It's phenomenal.
There are games with words that are fun to say, but for all the wrong reasons, like L5R and the infamous...
Oh, no. Yeah, we don't have to say it.
We don't have to say it. So, but then there are games like Vampire with Camarilla and Sabbat and... Diablerie, frankly, and they're just great words. They're awesome words. They're fun to say.
Yeah, and I'm over here fighting myself to keep from laughing about the L5R word.
Vampire doesn't have that problem. So that word diablerie, Brian, that's a huge taboo in vampire society. It's a way a vampire can totally drain another vampire and take all of their powers. It basically turns vampires into, you know, immortals from Highlander.
It's also cannibalism.
Yes, and it's cannibalism. It's as abhorrent to vampires as cannibalism would be to us. But Brian, we're going to get into a little bit this episode and even more next episode. What is my campaign fundamentally asking? Brian, here's one of the questions my campaign fundamentally asks. In a world where vampires exist and diablerie lets you take all the power of the vampire you killed, why on earth wouldn't there be Diablerists absolutely everywhere?
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, I don't want to sound terrible, but I mean, most of the vampires are probably not the most moral of creatures already. So, like, you know, why wouldn't it exist?
Yep.
Like in human society, well, I mean, actually human society, if that were the case, if you could eat another person and become immortal, our society would have developed differently and it probably would be less taboo.
Yeah. So one thing, cannibalism exists.
Yeah.
It's a real thing.
Yes.
Fact number one, not fact, supposition number two is, you're right. If eating someone really did give you all of their abilities, like flatworm learning, I think society would be very different and very scary.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you make that real, if you make that concept quote unquote real in your game, I think that's going to have real world consequences. Well, in-game consequences that I really wanted to explore. So I wanted to make Diablerie sort of a central part of the campaign. And to do that, I made the characters that you know, Edward and Zepp, a little bit different from the other vampires around them. And I wanted to ask two fundamental questions. The first fundamental question is, why wouldn't there just be constant Diablerie in a world where you got all their powers?
Yeah, I mean, that makes perfect sense. I mean, there is just something that is unique and fundamental to the mechanics of this game that would, you know, invariably lead you to that question ultimately. So
now I should clarify, Diablerie exists in the lore of the Quick Start. It exists in the lore of Vampire, and probably in the full rules there are some mechanics for it. But for this Quick Start, I actually came up with the mechanics for Diablerie myself.
Oh, okay.
So those mechanics you heard, number one, they're my own mechanics. Number two, they're going to sound different every time going forward the guys Diablerize another vampire, because I tweaked the mechanics over and over and over again as the campaign progressed.
That makes sense. You made it up. You have to playtest it.
Yeah, and I had to change it, tweak it, adjust it. One other point I want to make is that I tried to cram a lot into to this entire session, right? The last four episodes that we've listened to have been one session. There's been a fair amount of role play. There was a bit of combat. There were some new rules for Diablerie. There's introducing the characters. So, listener, dear listener, think of the last four sessions that you've listened to, the last four episodes that you've listened to, as one play session, because it was. I really wanted a lot of variety in that first session. I wanted a couple of good role play scenes, and we just finished out a role play scene. I wanted to get all that stuff in there and really give the guys a flavor for everything that this campaign was going to be going forward in the first session. It's like the introductory paragraph to an essay. It's like, you know, a fractal where the first session mirrors the overall campaign. That's what I was going for. And hopefully I achieved it. All right. More next week. Next week, Brian, I really want to, we'll drop some major spoilers next week. But I want to talk about the fundamental question my campaign is asking. Campaigns should ask questions of the players and let the players answer them. And I'm asking a huge question in these five sessions. And we'll get into that next week.
Cool. We'll see you then.
People call them postmortems, evaluations, appraisals, reviews, retrospectives. We call them lessons learned. And we're sharing ours with you.